a world standard suggests we need at least 20, maybe 30% of the marine environment worldwide fully protected from any exploitation. Overfishing is a huge thing worldwide, but also pollution, shipping, and all those sorts of things. It turns out we have less than 1% protected. Not 30%, 1%, less than 1%. Australia does a bit better. We have around 10%, but it's still a third of the gold standard.
This is Dave Booth. Dave is a professor in marine ecology from the University of Technology, Sydney.
So in terms of that 20 to 30%,
that's a minimum.
To have that protected at that percentage, why? Why have that much? Is that just to continue life ongoing?
Well, yeah, obviously in a perfect world, 100% would be protected. But we are humans, we live here, we exploit the sea, you know, we're here, so we have a footprint. 100% might be this amazingly, ideally impossible goal, but you need enough, and there's been various papers written on the exact amount, which, you know, falls between 20 and 30%, where they feel there's enough habitat to support fish, for instance, that are able to get old enough to breed and not be caught, to produce babies that can populate the rest of the ocean. It's sort of like, you know, if you have a forest, you'll often have an area that's protected for old growth trees, the seed trees. And even in forestry, they'll protect some of these trees, knowing that they produce babies for the rest of the area.
These protected marine areas have a name. They're called marine parks, and they kind of work in a similar way to the ones on land.
On land, a national park usually is prohibition. You can't, well, sort of can't hunt in national parks, but the animals and plants are protected there. In the ocean, our marine parks in Australia in particular are zoned. So we'll have a small area of that park is a bit like a terrestrial national park. But most of the park, 80 or 90% of it, is open to the very thing you're potentially trying to prevent, like fishing.
It seems a bit weird, right, that you'd have this area of the ocean protected from damages, yet up to 90% of that area is open to things like fishing. You'll hear exactly why that is in a second, but first,
how many marine parks are there in numbers around Australia?
It's difficult to say because the Commonwealth, there are a couple of dozen. Each state was required to have a certain number of marine parks to fulfil a nationwide network. I think we're one short, and amazingly, we don't have one in the Sydney area. Not that amazingly, because it's hard. There's a lot of opposition, and people are worried about not being able to fish, etc., etc. So there's about, you know, in the less than 100 small and large ones within state waters, and less than 40 in Commonwealth waters.
Altogether, this means about one-third of Australian waters are marine parks, but only 10% of these are fully protected. This is because different marine parks have different protection methods in place. Some parks will fully prohibit any sort of activity, whether this be recreational fishing, commercial fishing, or ships coming in and out of those waters, whereas others are a little more open.
Each marine park has its own story. For instance, just north of Sydney, we have the Port Stephens Marine Park.
Dave was on the managing committee for zoning the Port Stephens Park, which essentially means he worked with a number of different industries to mark out exactly where it would lay and what would happen in the area.
I think most of them were fishers of some sort. There were a couple of scientists, etc.
Meaning these were some of the other parties involved in the zoning talks.
We knew we had to give 20% to total protection.
A figure that is pretty standard for areas under full protection, but in Dave's opinion is still a little low.
And so at that particular park, there's an island called Broughton Island, which is a place where protected grey nurse shark stop. It was also a place that was had quite an active fishing industry. And then you go into Port Stephens, and it's a very popular spot. There's a lot of people live there these days, but there's some magnificent underwater scenery there.
Port Stephens is a prime example of a marine park that has environmental, economic, and social interests at play. But the way those interests are balanced, Dave says, is becoming harder to manage.
So it used to be the environment was number one, and if there was a fisheries benefit, that was secondary. If there was an economic benefit, that was secondary. In New South Wales, there's been a move, which does concern me, that the environment is just one of the three pillars they look at. In fact, in New South Wales, a crazy thing happened a few years ago where all of a sudden, without any prior warning or advice from scientists, the government decided to open up some previously fully protected small marine reserves. Now, the problem with that is, if there's a concerted fishing effort in an area like that, you can lose the benefits of a protected area within days or hours or weeks, but it takes years to get it back again. Marine protected areas often take a decade for the benefits to be accrued, just because fish, for instance, grow very slowly.
Why has that mentality kind of changed in New South Wales?
Well, there's lots of political reasons. They are a mecca for ecotourism, for instance. So, yes, you can get an economic benefit by having a really intact marine environment, which isn't overfished or whatever. Also, when they've done studies of the wealth of the ocean, it's a huge multi-billion dollar part of our Australia's wealth. And that includes the oil and gas industry, which is a huge industry, export industry for Australia. So all of these industries are out there, but, you know, any smart businessman knows they have to sustain their industry. And so, you know, if we're taking away from the ocean by putting our industries in, we need to put back.
A governmental review is currently underway, re-evaluating marine park areas around the country. This isn't the first review. There have, in fact, been a series of them.
The Howard government actually started a lot of this zoning for marine parks many years ago. Then the Labor government came in and they did their bit. And in 2012, after a lot of stakeholder engagement, there was put forward a proposal. The next government came in, the Liberal government, and they sort of scuttled that plan and said, oh, it was way too political, we'll have our own. And so they had a big scientific review, the Commonwealth Marine Review. And what unfortunately happened was there are some issues with eroding of the protection values that we thought would happen in 2012. So
when you say erosion, you kind of just mean like the zones are becoming smaller?
That's right. So instead of a particular area being total protection, it's now habitat protection, which sounds good, but it means you can go and fish there. And fishing is a major threat in some areas that we need to be careful of.
Can you personally have a strong relationship with the fishing industry?
Well, on the other hand, we do a lot of work with sustainable seafood. I happen to love seafood, and I also think done properly and sustainably, seafood is a wonderful thing to eat. Apart from the health benefits, the ethical benefits are there, because the beauty of a wild fishery industry is these fish have been free until the moment of capture. They haven't been penned, they haven't been stuffed full of hormones. They are wild animals. So you're catching a wild animal. If you can catch it sustainably and carefully, how better to get your food? The other issue is where these no fully protected areas are, they're often in deeper water, and really that's important, but the real threats are in shallow water. So when I mentioned residual areas before...
Residual areas kind of means the leftover areas, and in this case, areas that also have little commercial value. So what Dave is saying is that they can plonk a full protection label on a marine area, say, in deeper waters, but that's not protecting shallow water marine systems that need our full attention. What's the best result from your end here?
Well, I'd like to see some of our concerns as marine biologists and social scientists involved, interested in protecting the ocean, take into consideration. And maybe some of the changes that the latest review has suggested, which to me erode a bit that protection, are reversed.
It seems kind of funny when you're asking about marine ecosystems, which are heavily linked to the science, that they wouldn't take your opinion firsthand.
Right. Well, one of the saddest things you work at as a scientist is that evidence often doesn't matter. Quite often, there's other points of view, and there's a little bit political. There might be a certain political party has a member in that area that has constituents that don't want a marine park. And, you know, it's quite sad in a way, and quite a shock to scientists that there's not as much room for facts and evidence as there should be in the process. ¶¶